Heichel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is tape number 32 in the series, entitled The Value of Teenage Rebelliousness, recorded live at Heichel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York.
Good morning to one and all. We will start from Tanya Perik Yud, the 10th chapter of the Tanya, page 28, or Daf Yudalet Amud Beis. In this chapter, the author, Reb Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the Alter Rebbe, returns to explain the general theme with which he began his Tanya. In the first chapter, the Alter Rebbe discussed the fact that the Jewish people are comprised of three categories of people. You have the Tzaddikim, the Beinonim, and the Rishayim. The Tzaddik is the righteous man, the Beinoni the intermediate man, and the Rasha is the wicked man. By the way, the Chida writes that the acronym of the word Tzibur, a Tzibur of Jews, Tzibur is Tzaddik, Beis, Vav, Resh. So the Rosh Tevis of that word is Tzaddikim, Beinonim, or Rishayim. Because a true Tzibur of Jews, a community of Jews, includes all different types of categories. Which is also a lesson that none of the categories can be excluded from the Jewish community. The Tzaddik or the Beinoni can't come along and say, no, I don't like that. I'm going to cut out a part of my body. This is part of your body. It's part of who you are. It's part of your identity. You have to work with the Rasha. You have to educate him, refine him. But that makes up the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael, of the Jewish body. At first glance, it would seem that the Tzaddik is the individual who engages his life mostly in positive deeds, in mitzvahs. So the majority of his life is characterized by good deeds. There's a minority of his life that is characterized by negative deeds. The Rasha would be the wicked man, the person on the other extreme, who's diametrically opposed to the Tzaddik in the sense that he possesses the majority of his deeds are negative, are transgressions. Minority of his deeds are positive. And the Beinoni is the intermediate man who is, so to speak, 50-50. 50% positive, 50% negative. Comes the Alter Rebbe, and in chapter 1, he explained that this is not the case. He listed a many of proofs which prove that the Beinoni is not the individual who is usually defined as a character of 50-50 with half of his life characterized by good deeds and the other half by negative deeds. He brought many of proofs for it. One of them was from the fact that the great sage of his time, Rabba, declares in Masechta Brachos, "Kegoina na Beinoni." To give an example, what is the Beinoni? He says, look at me, I am the Beinoni. Says the Alter Rebbe, if a Beinoni is someone who half of his deeds are positive, half of his deeds are negative, how could Rabbi even make an error that he's a Beinoni? Rabbi was a man concerning who the Gemara says that leposik pome megirsa. He didn't cease to learn for a moment to the extent that the Malach HaMavis, the angel of death, couldn't get to him. And you know, unfortunately, the Malach HaMavis is pretty skilled at his work. We see it every day. But nevertheless, he couldn't get to Rabbah because he didn't cease for a moment to learn. And the Gemara Baba Metzia relates a whole episode and tale how he had to contrive a whole scheme in order to compel Rabbah to cease, to stop learning for a moment, and then he took away his soul. So a human being like Rabbah, can he make an error that he's abandoning, even make a mistake that he's abandoning? As we discussed, then humility doesn't mean falsehood. Humility doesn't mean self-deception. That if you're tall, you say you're short. That's not humility. That's ridiculous. That's one of the proofs. And many other rayas, many other sources that Alter Rebbe brought, that a Beinoni does not mean, is not, the meaning of the Beinoni is not as it's normally understood by the average person. Rather, the Beinoni is someone who does not violate even one transgression of the Torah, and is someone who observes every single mitzvah of the Torah, both in areas of Sur Meira, of abstaining from evil, and Asay Tov, of engaging in positivity. The Beinoni functions in a manner which is superb and excellent. If so, the Beinoni is a tzaddik. So the Alter Rebbe says, indeed, concerning the concrete, pragmatic life of the Beinoni, he is identical to the tzaddik. Every mitzvah he engages in, every aveira he stays away from. So the difference between the tzaddik and the Beinoni is not an external, concrete difference concerning their actions, their day-to-day behavior and deeds. It's rather an internal, spiritual, psychological difference. The difference between them is not in what they do, but it's in who they are. Who they are as human beings. What is going on in the depth, in the inner dimensions of their psyche, personality, and character. The Beinoni can experience negative feelings, attitudes, perspectives, traits. He does not allow these traits, these attributes, to determine his behavior. He does not obey them, but nevertheless they exist. In the tzaddik, however, even his midos, his inner feelings, his inner emotions, his inner personality, are also totally purified and consistent with goodness, with truth, with godliness and spirituality. By a rasha, the third category, even his concrete pragmatic behavior is sometimes or often defected. Those aspects in life which are negative, which are antithetical to how a person should behave in reality, even that creeps in to his day-to-day behavior. It's not only the difference between him and the tzaddik is an internal one. Even externally, the rasha can engage in those things that are unhealthy physically and spiritually. By a tzaddik, even his internal life is totally good and pure. The Beinoni stands in the middle. His poel mamish dika life, in other words, his concrete day-to-day behavior is identical to the tzaddik, is totally consistent with the will and the design of his creator. His day-to-day behavior from morning to night, including the night, is consistent with the blueprint of life that Hashem has designed for the human being. But in his internal life, his internal mind and heart are still wrought with conflict and struggle between positivity and negativity. This was clear from the first chapter in Tanya. To explain this theme in a more detailed and mainly in a clear, sparkling clear manner, the Alter Rebbe introduced the concept that every Jew possesses two souls, two distinct consciousnesses, one defined as the nefesh hachiyunis habahamis hativis, the vital, natural, animal consciousness, and the other as the nefesh halikis, the godly soul, the divine neshama. Each one of these souls, the Alter Rebbe continued to discuss in the further chapters, contains an entire set of attributes, faculties, koichos hanefesh, energies that make for a functioning persona. Specifically speaking, each one consists of 10 general faculties and branches. Of course, every one with many offshoots and branches that make a personality, a character. 3 cognitive intellectual faculties, 7 emotional and functional faculties. This is true both concerning the natural soul and concerning the divine soul. in addition to these 10 inner characteristics that define its personality, each soul also expresses itself through the three bodily mediums of thought, speech, and action. The thought, speech, and action can be defined as garments for the divine soul, or as garments, as mediums of expression for the animal soul. So when we speak about the soul, it has 10 inner faculties, and three mediums through which it expresses itself, either thought, which is more internal, or speech, which is already more external, and finally deed. These garments are, of course, in the mind, the brain, and in one's mouth, and one's hands or other limbs and organs. These two souls, the Alter Rebbe continued in the following chapters to describe what they are all about. What is their essence? What is at the core of their identity? What are their ambitions, drives? What is their nature? Finally, in chapter 9, the Alter Rebbe discussed their place in the human body, place, their physical place in the human body, and their spiritual place in the human body. Then the Alter Rebbe continued to discuss the struggle of the souls, the perpetual battle, which is the story of man's life, the battle between the divine soul and the natural soul, the struggle between man's heavenly dimension, between man's idealism and man's ego. It's the perpetual struggle between the impulsive self and the reflective self. Both of them struggle and desire to dominate man's body and all of the organs in the body. Just as two kings are fighting with each other, are bickering with each other to conquer a city and all of its inhabitants. The divine soul wants exclusive mastery over the entire province. She wants that everything of man's life, external, internal, shall be controlled by her vision, by her persona, by her desires, instincts, wants, by her characteristics. The Nefesh HaBahamas, on the other hand, wants exact opposite. That it should all belong to her. She should be the exclusive master over man's physical life and domain. Over here, in Perik Yud, the Alter Rebbe now finally concludes to discuss the three categories that define the entire Jewish people, the Tzaddik, the Beinoni, and Rasha, in light of the above explanation in the previous 9 chapters, because the Tzaddik, the Beinoni, and the Rasha are three models of where man is holding in this struggle. Of what did man achieve or not achieve in the relationship and in the victory of the Nefesh HaLikis, of the divine soul over the animal soul, or conversely. So Perik Yud is dedicated to the character of the Tzaddik, Perik Yud Aleph, the Rasha, and Perik Yud Beis, and further to the Beinoni, which is ultimately the hero of the Tanya, which one of the names for the Sefer is, as we studied in the title page, Sefer Shel Beinonim. It's the book of the Beinonim, of the ordinary men, not of the Tzaddikim and not of the Rishayim. It's the Sefer dedicated for the Beinoni, or the Beinonim. Specifically, in Perik Aleph, the Alter Rebbe mentioned that in Chazal we find the Jewish community divided into 5 categories. Because in the Tzaddik itself, generally there are 2 categories. Specifically, there are 2 categories, as well in the Rasha, as in the Rasha. In the Tzaddik we have the Tzaddik Gomer and the Tzaddik Sheini Gomer. The complete Tzaddik and the incomplete Tzaddik. The Rasha we have, the Rasha Gomer and the Rasha Sheini Gomer. The complete wicked person and the incomplete wicked person. And then you have the Beinoni. So altogether we're dealing with 5 categories. Even this is ultimately a general description, because each one of the categories consists of many gradations, levels, and ranks. So generally speaking, we have these 5 divisions. These five are discussed and defined in various places in Gemara, as he brought in the first chapter of Tanya in detail. In Brachos, the Gemara identifies the Tzadik Gamar with the Tzadik V'Tayvlai, the complete Tzadik with the Tzadik who knows good, the incomplete Tzadik with the Tzadik V'Rali, as well as Rasha, the Rasha Gamar with the Rasha V'Rali, and the Rasha She'enei Gamar with the Rasha V'Tayvlai. Literally, at first glance, a tzaddik v'tevli, a tzaddik v'rali in Gemara means a tzaddik who knows of good in his life and a tzaddik who knows bad of his life. In Zayar, however, he discussed in Perek Aleph, in Raya Mehem, the section of Zayar, the terms tzaddik v'tevli, tzaddik v'rali are not just a description of man's life experiences, whether he has good fortune or negative, bad fortune. Rather, it's another alternate description for his or her state of mind, state of consciousness, what type of person they are. Tzaddik v'ra'alai, the Zayar describes, is a tzaddik who possesses ra, who possesses negativity, but the ra is loy. The ra is to him, which means that the evil which is in him is subjugated, is nullified towards him. It's nullified towards the good which is in him. Tzaddik v'tayvlai, which would mean a tzaddik which the good is to him, which means there's no evil whatsoever within him. The same is true in the Rasha. Rasha v'ra'alai, Rasha v'tayvlai means a Rasha which the good is to him, he possesses good, but the good is abnegated. It's overwhelmed, it's dominated by the negativity within him. Rasha v'ra'alai would mean a Rasha which the negativity is towards him, which means there's no good whatsoever. So even tzaddik v'tevli and tzaddik v'ra'alai are terms to describe the nature of the tzaddik, just as the first former two terms, tzaddik gamor and tzaddik she'enei gamor. So the tzaddik gamor is identified with the tzaddik v'tevli. The tzaddik she'enei gamor is identified with the tzaddik v'ra'alai. The complete tzaddik, which has no evil, is the tzaddik v'tevli. The incomplete tzaddik, which still has some evil, is identified with the tzaddik v'ra'alai, who has evil, but the evil is subjugated. Why do you need two terms to convey the same concept? So this will also be clarified as we begin this chapter. It's clear?
That's what I know. Tzaddik v'tovo is somebody who is not a good... It also says in the Zohar that tzaddik v'tovo is somebody who is not a gilgul. Somebody who is not a gilgul. Every mitzvah he gets for himself. Tzaddik v'ra'alai is somebody who is a gilgul. And even though he does all the mitzvahs, they really give him a sake to somebody else's neshama from some other previous generation. So it's
Where is this? Okay, so you're adding that you also saw in the Zed that a tzaddik v'tevlai is not a tzaddik who has a neshama which has not been, which is not a reincarnation, it's not a gilgal. It's a fresh neshama. A tzaddik v'ra'alai is someone whose neshama is reincarnated. Okay.
Is this an avodah to be a tzaddik or is this a matanah?
You're asking if to be a tzaddik is a present, it's a gift from above, or one can attain it through his own work. It's a good It's a good question. As the Alter Rebbe will discuss in the following chapter, specifically in chapter 14, not every neshama can indeed attain the level of a tzaddik. It's a unique gift that's given from above. Not every soul can necessarily attain this rank. The Beinoni level is applicable to every individual. Through work, one can reach the level of a Beinoni. But the Tzaddik is of a whole other realm. The Tzaddik's life
That's the okay. I see the okay.
Three dots, 3 points is the end of the sentence, yeah. Wouldn't I say that according to the Tanya, the Beinoni should be greater than the Tzaddik? Because he always has to struggle with the negativity. Yeah, he has a struggle. The Tzaddik is a free man already. He's beyond it. He's saying the Tzaddik was once a Beinoni, huh? There's no question, from a certain perspective, the tzaddik is, of course, far superior to the Beinoni. From another perspective, the Alter Rebbe will discuss in Tanya, a Beinoni, that aspect, the Beinoni is indeed higher, yeah.
Is it possible, Rabbi, that the reason that a man is a tzaddik is because he may have inherited the genes from his ancestors?
If it's possible that a person is a tzaddik because he inherited the genes of his ancestors. It's possible, of course, that the genes factor contributed to his ability of being a tzaddik. It helps. But it cannot be attributed solely to the genes factor. In other words, the person has to work on his own.
All right, Esav.
Esav, yeah. Esav had good parents, and he turned out to be Esav, yeah. The Torah was given in a desert. Why was it given in a desert? The Medrash says in Yalkut Shemayni that no one should be able to claim rights. All rights reserved. The Torah was given in my city. I have I have the real connection to the Torah. The real Torah belongs to me. It was given in a desert. Everyone has the same connection. Which reminds me of the rabbi who someone came to him, a secular Jew, and he says he wants to study Torah. The rabbi says, with pleasure. He says, how much does it cost? He says, what? The Torah belongs to me. Of course, it doesn't cost any money. The Torah was given in a desert. It's all for free. Did I pay Hashem money for learning his Torah? It doesn't cost any money. So the guy was very impressed. He says, see, Mamash, no money? He says, no money, absolutely. Fine. He says, this is a real scholar. This is a real rabbi, a real Talmud Chacham. So he comes the designated day and they sit down. So the rabbi takes Hatucha Mashim, gives him a chumash, and says, start reading. The guy looks, he says, I don't know Hebrew. He says, Hebrew lesson's $100 an hour. Anyway. Shite. Okay. Vihine. Kisha'a damag ben nafshei alikis. When a person causes his divine soul to prevail over the animal soul, v'nilcham kol kachim abahamis. And when he wages war against the animal soul to the extent, till he banishes and eradicates its evil from its abode within him, namely the left ventricle of the heart, as is written, you shall eradicate the evil from your midst. So the pasuk over there is talking about the false prophet or other people who have to be eradicated from the community of Israel. But in the spiritual life of the Jew, it's also to be understood as the personal, individualistic evil, ra, which finds itself bekirbecha in the midst of one's life, and the person is to attempt to eradicate this evil from his midst. So this human being, who managed and caused his divine soul to prevail over the animal soul, which is not an easy task, let's face it, the natural animal soul's identity is extremely powerful. Its sense of ego, of selfhood, of selfishness, naturally dominates man's character. But this human being succeeded in not falling prey to the veneer of life, to the veneer of man's character and personality, to the temptations that come from the animal soul, but he managed to drill deeper, to penetrate the stratums of his character and to access his nefesh elikis. And he fought, he waged such a war with the nefesh abahamis until he eradicated it. From kirbecha, from his inner midst. And again, we're not talking about it that he eradicated the nefesh abahamis from the garments of life. From thought, speech, and action. That's even a Beinoni. Mikir Becha. Uviyar Teram Mikir Becha. From your midst. From his inner life, he eradicated the Nefesh Abahamis. From the left side of his heart. In other words, even the Kaichais. Even his inner personality and character became what? The personality of the Nefesh HaLikis, not of the Nefesh Abahamis. But Ve'ein Hara Nepech L'Toyv Mamash. He did achieve this goal, But he finds that the evil has nevertheless not actually been converted into good. It has been abnegated, nullified, eradicated. But it has not been transformed into a force for good. So this human being is nikra tzaddik she'enigam. He's called a tzaddik, but an incomplete tzaddik. He is also defined as v'tzaddik v'ralei. As the tzaddik v'ralei. What does it mean, tzaddik v'ralei? The hainu sheyesh b'yadayin ma'at mizera. It means that some vestige of evil still lingers within him, b'chalal asmali, in the left part of his heart. So it's a tzaddik which has ra, there is ra, but the ra is a loy. The ra is a very minute, and it's defined as a ra loy ra, which is abnegated, which is subdued to him. Like he goes on to say, Ela shekafu for batala toiv machmas mayute. Except that this ra, by reason of its minuteness, is subjugated and nullified by the good. V'lachein, hence, nidmala, he the tzaddik may imagine, ki v'yigarsheil v'yelech loikuli lagamri, that he has driven it out, and it has quite disappeared. In his conscious self, he does not sense this dimension lingering within him. He doesn't sense its existence, its reality, or its expression in any way. In his mind, it seems to him, it's possible that it seems to him, that he has totally rid himself from Ra. Why is this? Because although the Ra exists, it's totally subdued to him, even internally. So therefore he doesn't sense it. He's unconscious of it in any way whatsoever. He's not deceiving himself, he's really unconscious of it. He doesn't sense it. Maybe Taka. Maybe this Taka no Ra on him. So he continues, no. Aval be'emes, in truth, however, ilu chalav ha'aluch lo legamri kol ha'rashabai. Had all the evil in him departed and disappeared, ha'ya nepech l'tayv mamash. It would have been converted into actual good. And since the tzaddik is well aware that the Ra was not converted into good, he just thinks it was eradicated. So this very fact demonstrates also that there is still Ra with him. What is the Alter Rebbe saying here? Man has two souls, a divine soul and an animal soul. What is the animal soul all about? Is it absolutely, unequivocally, evil, negativity, dirt? It must be destroyed and eradicated? Absolutely not. The Nefesh HaBahamid, the Yetzirah, is an animal. But it's not evil in its essence. It can be used for evil ends. Yes, it can be slept down, it can be drawn down in an evil, negative direction. But in its essence, it's not evil. The difference of the two souls is not a difference where one soul wants goodness. One soul wants to, is harmless. And the other soul is always seeking and contriving schemes to harm another person. To kill, to steal, to lie, to cheat. That's not what is at the essence of the Nefesh HaBahamas. The Nefesh HaBahamas is, as its name implies, an animal soul. In other words, it's that soul which places man and puts him within the zoological species. He's an animal. An animal is evil and negative? No. But it's an animal. It's an animal in the sense that although it's a very intelligent animal, Nefesh HaBahamas is extremely, it's human. It's the human animal, it's the Jewish animal, not stamen animal. But nevertheless, ultimately, it does not contain within itself a higher transcendental vision or a true sense of idealism. The animal is not bad. An animal could be very, very lovely. And Tsar Balachaim, aggravating an animal, is forbidden in the Torah. You can't aggravate your Nefesh HaBahamas. Nefesh HaBahamas is just a very simple soul. Maybe not so simple, quite intelligent, but simple in the sense it knows that it exists, it wants to exist. At the core of its identity stands the quest for self-enhancement, self-preservation, self-happiness, being comfortable. It wants to be comfortable, happy, satiated, physically, psychologically, and sometimes even spiritually. This animal can be extremely intelligent. It can go to concerts, it can go to operas, it can go to theater, it can enjoy arts, philosophy, poetry, a lot of things. But ultimately, it does not allow the human being to transcend the parameters of self. The true idealism, true transcendence, is not imbued in man from the soul.